Oh, hello. Can you hear my head cold? I can't because I can barely hear, thanks to my head cold. You are listening to the Fuckadite Radio. That is what this is, the Fuckadite Radio. My name is Caroline Dooner. I am your host and creator of the Fuckadite. And today I am sharing the audio of this guest call that I just did with my friend and teacher Alexis Saludos. And I have learned a lot of the energy work that I do and a lot of the teaching of grounding that I now incorporate into the Fuck a Diet and the Intuition Intensive. A lot of that came from studying with her. And I had this guest call, and it was just meant to be for the program. It was actually meant to be a way to talk about the concept of organ energies, which is something that I learned from Alexis and something that she is way more well-versed on than I am. And the concept is that different organs resonate with different unresolved emotions, and that there is a way to kind of be aware of that and to do energy work with that. And I wanted to talk to Alexis about a little bit more about that for the program. However, the conversation that ensued was so great and exciting, and I was incredibly caffeinated. And I was just beaming as we were talking because it was just fun and exciting and resonating so much. And as we were talking, I kept thinking, I need to share this as a podcast. And it's very possible that the stuff that we're talking about is super out there. If you are not into energy or energy work or any of these like spiritual or energetic concepts, some of this may sound really, really out there, and that is okay. If you have no idea about grounding or about energy or energy work, I actually recommend that you, maybe even before you listen to this podcast, or maybe halfway through if you decide that you have no idea what we're talking about, that you sign up for my free grounding, what's it called? A free grounding lessons? Yeah, my free grounding lessons that you can find on my site. Let me actually make sure. Thefuckadiet.com/grounding. Yes, if you go to thefuckadiet.com/grounding, you can sign up for my. I really should know this, actually. I'm going to blame it on my head cold. There are three or four email lessons that will come straight to your email over the one a day. And it will teach you my perspective on grounding and what it has to do with food and body and our resistance to being in our body and being alive, and what it has to do with feeling emotions and what it has to do with healing. Sorry, I just had to pause it so I could cough. I'm getting over the flu. So that is a reality on the call that I'm sharing. There are times when I cough. There are times when I'm smart enough to mute myself before I cough or eat clementines, as I started doing later on in the call, as I was essentially bouncing off the walls by having more than my normal amount of coffee. Anyway, so the audio of this call that I'm sharing is not that awesome, and I am sorry about that, but I hope that the content is helpful and interesting and fun. And if you are super new to energetic concepts and the concept of grounding, you may want to sign up for my free lessons on grounding and even just read that first one that'll come immediately. It'll kind of explain why grounding is a thing that I teach at all. I always have this fear that I'm kind of getting woo-woo or getting too woo-woo or kind of and maybe alienating people by kind of going in that direction. However, it really does have everything to do with everything. And it really also does help me teach this in a way that, even though it might sound abstract and out there, I find that it actually makes it the most helpful and applicable to actually look at what we're doing with the Fuck a Diet from all of these angles. So there's the very biological eating angle that is all about well, you're actually have a suppressed metabolism. And then there are all of these other, oh, Alexis is calling me right now. Hold on, let me pause this. If I had a radio show, I would be fired for being really bad and unprofessional, obviously. I was talking about how there are biological ways to explore the fuck a diet, and there are energetic and emotional and sort of spiritual ways to talk about it too, which is the direction that you have to go in once you kind of do that first part of actually eating more. Then you have to kind of address all the other aspects. So anyway, before we get into the meat of this, so to speak, the meat of this podcast, I want to just tell you who are listening to this close to when I've released it. This is the end of March. This is March 29th, 2017. And I am still running Fucketeer Academy, which is a monthly membership program. And you can join and quit at any time. You can join halfway through the month. You can join 2 days into the month. But every month I change up the content and I change up the theme. And every month there are three live calls. One of them is a Q&A. One of them is an intention setting call where I take people through journaling prompts. And one is an energy work call where I take people through doing their own energy work. And it's awesome. And we talk about our relationship to food and body. And we talk about it all through the lens of what limiting beliefs, what beliefs that are unhelpful do we have that we need to become aware of and we need to release through both energy work and awareness. This next month, April 2017, is going to be focused on portion stress and beliefs and stress that we have over certain ways of approaching how much food we think we're supposed to be eating. That is beginning in a couple days. You can join us whenever. You can quit whenever. It is $50 a month. And I so look forward to meeting anybody who wants to try it out. You can join for a month. You can join for a year. Anyway, I mean, not a year. I mean, you could stay for a year if you wanted to stay for a year. Okay, I'm done with that now. Also, if you can rate and review this podcast on iTunes, if you feel called to do that at all, it helps reach more people. Actually, it helps make the podcast easier to find. And last but not least, if you have any desire to support this podcast by throwing $1 a month via Patreon, patreon.com/Caroline Dooner, that is a way to support this podcast if you have any desire to. And other than that, you just enjoy yourself and please try not to be too angry with me for the bad audio and for the coughing and for the clementine chewing and for the sneezing and for whatever else you want to be mad at me for. Okay.
About how I came into this wild work of energy. So, and another thing that Caroline and I connect with is this whole food world. So my academic background is in nutrition. I have an undergraduate degree and a master's degree from Bastyr University, and I became a certified nutritionist back in 2012. Prior to that, I had a decade of experience working as a personal trainer. So I've been in the physical realm for a long time and was really just drawn to energetics. I took a couple Reiki classes before I went back to grad school, and I've just always been interested in energy. So I sought out as many modalities as I could. I learned muscle testing, many different types of muscle testing. I worked with an energy intuitive for a couple of years and mentored with her, and I'm not kidding, spent 2 years learning how to ground because I was not grounded. I'm an Aquarius and my natural state is really to just kind of be flying up high in the ethers. And sometimes it feels like just molasses to have to be in this physical body, but yet I have always been passionate about learning about the physical body and have worked with the physical body. So just kind of these interesting connections. And anyway, I graduated with my master's. I ended up working with this, a really, really amazing doctor who he created his own muscle testing technique called autonomic response testing. And it wow, you guys, I'm like really having a hard time talking today. I'm so excited. He focuses on the autonomic nervous system, and a lot of his work is rooted in the organ energies. And so that was really my first exposure to someone who was connected with the organ energies, and it just totally opened up my eyes to so much, because this general approach to organ energies is that they house unresolved emotion. And there are many different types of work that focus on this. So if you've received acupuncture or experienced traditional Chinese medicine, maybe you've come across hearing about how the liver can house anger, or, you know, these different ways in which there's a spleen deficiency. Well, what does that really mean? So a lot of my exposure to organ energies came through my mentor, Dr. Klinghart. And then it evolved as it has and continues to evolve through the Chakrity lens. So Chakrity is an entire system of energetic assessment and healing. And Caroline, you just reel me in if I am going off too far, where we work with these really magical, awesome crystal pendulums. Now, I never thought that I would be a pendulum person. I never saw this in my future of like, I'm gonna go to school and I'm gonna study nutrition and I am going to become known as this pendulum girl. I had no intention, but I also have always been drawn to energy and I've always loved crystals. And it's a very funny story, but I had come into just contact with one of these pendulums, and it ties into a very dear family friend and this whole magical unfolding. But after I had my nutrition practice, because I started up an office right after I graduated, I started applying all of these different modalities. I was muscle testing, I was doing energy work, I was doing some nutrition counseling. By the way, I was an intuitive eating counselor. There are lots of different elements here. And I would hold this pendulum over people. And, you know, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just holding this pendulum over people. And one day, years later, it all just kind of clicked into place that the pendulum would move in specific ways over specific parts of the body, and those parts of the body were the chakras. And it has been a magical unfolding ever since. But Chakrity is deeply rooted in these relationships between the chakras and the organ energies. And the chakras, as you've learned, you know, by now from Caroline, they are these major energy centers. They're constantly fluctuating. They can communicate how it is that we're relating to our external environment. They can also reveal how it is that we're experiencing our own internal environment. From my perspective, the reason why now I understand that the chakras have become such a foundational part of my work is because they are essentially the bridge between the physical and the energetic. So you can, they're like the thing that's anchoring the energetic with the physical. And how super magical is that? And then when we look at the relationship between the organ energies, which are housing more unresolved emotion, it's very deep. They also tend to be a place, again, from my lens, that is more connected in with ancestral imprinting, past life imprinting, really, really deep embedded stuff in the energy. If we look at connecting with the organ energies through the chakras, it's like applying a filter and looking from, you know, this broader perspective, how things relate deeply inward. So it's really, really fascinating, super fun. I'm always discovering new connections every day. And I absolutely love what I do, so much so that I, you know, wake up in the morning and I'm like, when do I get to do my work? You know, I'm so excited about it. I'll pause there.
I just love hearing you talk about this. It's just such a specific lens. And that is even something that I feel like just a vocabulary word that I've taken from you, because first of all, it applies so much. Everyone has their own lens through which mm-hmm. they either teach or whatever, see, and that you talk also about looking at different aspects of the energy through the lens of the chakra, or looking at an organ energy that's in balance or not in balance, or housing unresolved emotions through the lens of different chakras. So lens mm-hmm. is a word
that you use. Yeah, lens is a cool word. And I think, you know, it's something that's kind of missing sometimes from the energetic realm. I see some familiar faces from Boo's Energetics, so I'm just gonna call that out. And so you guys have already seen that maybe hashtag unpopular 2017 is part of my focus for this year. But this idea that we all are bringing our unique lens to what we do, and that's what makes everything special, because we are. You know, I can only ever provide my lens and the way in which something resonates with me and how I perceive it. That's all that I can ever offer. And I think sometimes we get lost in, you know, this is the thing. There are these rules. The chakras are 7 energy centers. The root is only connected with this thing. It's associated with the color red. And I'm just like, I couldn't be more bored to tears by cookie cutter crystals that fit in with the specific colors of the chakras. I think that just kind of takes the magic out of things a lot of the time to have so much rigidity around it. And so I feel like a bit of an energetic rebel in that sense. And I know that all of you just connecting with Caroline are already in, you know, the world of discovering what really resonates with you and releasing rigid rule mm-hmm. nonsense.
Mary said that she is also an Aquarius and struggles a lot with grounding.
I completely get that. It can be really challenging when you haven't, and I think this is where so much of my excitement and passion around the physical body came through, was this need to be grounded. And I found that through exercise. And while I didn't realize that's what it was when it was happening, that was really my thing that helped me get into my body. And so part of my journey was, I was an athlete when I was younger, and I actually started working out with a personal trainer when I was 14. And I would, you know, I played varsity volleyball, and I, you know, did all of these things, and I would go to the gym, workout in the morning, and then I go to practice after school, and it was all of this exercise. And if I wasn't exercising, I could feel a lot of anxiety. And part of that anxiety, again, looking back, was sensing so much energetically and not knowing what to do with it. And so I was just feeling all sorts of things all the time, feeling other people's stuff all the time, and my body would go berserk because I didn't know what was happening. And so the only way that I could ground myself was through exercise, and that became very, very rigid part of my life, that I had to do it all the time. It had to be for a certain amount of time. It had to be super intense. And it wasn't until I went through an injury and I actually met my husband in Greece when I was pretty young, 17 years ago, that it completely transformed my world, because he was like, what is this weirdness in the way that you relate to food and exercise? And it was the beginning of this whole, you know, discovery of how we relate to movement and how we relate to food and how that all ties in with grounding. And so I feel like when grounding can take a while to really connect with and learn how to just do in the energy, it's tying in with so many embedded patterns over probably your entire lifetime. And that's why it can take a bit longer. But then once you connect with that, it becomes automatic. So you can, you know, I don't require, unless it's something super insane, I don't need to go in and ground myself for 10 minutes before I do my work. I can immediately sink into my body if I don't feel like I am, simply by bringing my awareness to needing to ground my energy. So it's become much more intuitive and automatic over the years. But in the beginning, like everything, it can require some serious intentional work and practice. And it's all through repetition that it gets easier and easier.
Yeah, totally. Talking about, actually, interestingly, the other day, Natalie said that when she was just sort of looking through the overview of the chakras that I sent at the beginning of the program, she was like so drawn to the solar plexus. She was like, I didn't know why, something about fire. I really was drawn to it. It turns out you're an Aries, right? And I was like, I don't know. Maybe because you're a fire sign. And I talked about how I, like, seriously, doing Alexis's program when she talked about grounding, I was probably bothering her so much in the beginning because I was writing in the group all the time being like, I don't understand this concept. You know, so I can't access. Like, I was like, really? I've never enjoyed school so much. Like school, like learning.
Before you even talk about that, can you mention your first email to me that I ever received?
Because
hard about it.
So I like randomly found out Alexis through like some other person, and I had actually put out like into the world. I was like, I want to learn about chakras. Like, I want to learn more about intuition through other people's lens, because I had my own and I just wanted to like add to my understanding of it. And so like a couple months later, I was like watching some webinar that Alexis was talking about the solar plexus, I think. And I don't like the solar plexus doesn't resonate with me. I know that's a weird thing to say, but like, I don't care about it. Like I force myself to care about it, but like, it doesn't excite me very much. But so I was like watching and I was like, all right, solar plexus. But there was something about the like Alexis that I like thought that did resonate. And so, and I like looked at her program and it was like talking about being an empath and like feeling a lot of things and being sensitive. And I was like, probably. And I emailed her and I was like, hi, I'm considering taking your program, but I'm not even sure that I'm a full blown empath. Is that what I said?
You said full-blown empath, and ever since then, I mean, I laughed so hard when I received that, because your humor always comes through with everything, and you're just so funny.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that it didn't come across as annoying, and that it came across. But I really didn't know. I was like, I don't know. But anyway, obviously it was all meant to be. And like, even as Alexis is talking right now, I'm like, I don't know if you can see that I'm like smiling at everything you say. But also, I was always super like, so like something about grounding, something about the way that you talked about grounding, and then seeing how much of that was what I was already sensing about the way that I was sort of teaching the Fuck It Diet, and how, like, it just clicked how it applied to both the physical parts of eating and our relationship with weight as well, and like taking up space, but also the emotional aspect of like avoiding being in your body, which is something that I was already teaching. I just wasn't explaining it in terms of like, you don't want to be like here on this plane. So the way that you explained it was so exciting to me. And then the concept of grounding ever since then has been like, no, like this is it. Like, this really is.
And there are two things coming through that before my toddler mom brain loses them, because I don't have something to write down, I'm just going to blurt it out real quick, which is that I've just resumed a regular yoga practice after 4 years of not doing yoga. And one of the things going back, because it was like pre-chakrity, post-chakrity, and return to yoga, that I've realized is that grounding is approached from such an intellectual place. I think for me, that's why I didn't really connect with it for so long. Because even though we're talking about being in our body, it's still from the mind. It's not actually sensing your energy and connecting with your energy from a sensation place. And I think that's where I personally check out, because it's like, okay, we can talk about the chakras, we can talk about grounding from this place of the mind and kind of this imaginary place in visualization. But for me, that's not what helps me be in my body, because my personal tendency is that if we're going to talk about visualizing the chakras, it's like, I think, you know, okay, there are these swirling energy centers and visualize the color yellow and, you know, whatever. It gets me in my head, and then I start fixating on how a chakra looks a certain way and how I don't actually feel it that way. And then that creates an internal battle, and on and on and on. And it just kind of leads this mental fixation and cycle that I think is part of my own journey and how I've connected so much with the actual energetics. Because again, from my lens, I've realized that one of my talents is being able to connect with and communicate how energy flows so that other people can connect with that, those patterns as well, and really begin to experience them in their body. Because again, this is where the grounding comes in. It's connected with sensation. We can't visualize the grounding. I mean, maybe we can, but I still think that if we're having to visualize it, when it really, really connects is when we're embodying it through sensation and the energy. So that was something that I really wanted to touch on, was kind of where I personally check out. And that's the having to, you know, visualize and will this grounding thing forward. And then there was something else too that was important. It'll come back.
It will. But that, I mean, I honestly, since
so toddler mom Aquarius. But when we are in pain, so, and this kind of goes back to food, and I think a lot of your work, Caroline, is that there is the tendency to unroot, because it's really uncomfortable to be in your physical body when you are in physical pain, or when you're experiencing, it could be emotional pain, whatever it is, our energy can go to this place of unrooting and disconnecting, because sometimes, depending upon maybe what your childhood experience was like, or this could even be past life trauma, this could be ancestral imprinting, it can be so many different things, but a pattern can happen where your energy shoots up and disconnects as a mechanism to protect yourself. However, and I do feel like that happens for a reason, there's something to that, you know, our bodies aren't working against us. So there, I do feel like on some level that serves a purpose. However, when we're trying to really connect with all parts of ourselves and heal different relationships, and especially going into physical, you know, body food, in order for us to truly heal, from my lens and perspective, we have to bring our energy into our physical body. The healing process happens when we really bring our energy back in and down, and it can be painful, and it can surface a lot of stuff, but that's where these massive shifts happen. And that's what I really gained insight around in working at this clinic after graduating from nutrition stuff, was that, oh my gosh, all of these people who are experiencing crazy chronic illness, I observed so many energetics around unrooting, because it was just so painful to be in the physical body. And gradually through these processes and physical support and intervention, the energy would come back into the body and amazing healing would happen. So that feels like such an important piece.
Yes, it really, really, really is. And another way that you taught that healing has to happen in the body, that's something that was like a total click and is something that I now share, and it's huge. And when people hear it, they're like, oh, duh, yeah, you're right. But like, people don't talk about that. They don't talk about it this way at all. Based on what you just said, I have two thoughts. One, okay. And guys, please feel free to pipe up either in the chat or unmuting yourself whenever you want. We're totally like dominating the conversation. We both have a lot of coffee.
I know. I wish I could drink mine. It tastes bad.
I know, and talk about grounding, and we're like, whoa! But, okay, these are the two things that it made me think of. One, it wasn't until I understood grounding on, like, a visceral level that I understood literally anything that they were talking about in yoga. Before, of course, yoga was my way of, like, this is my way to, like, exercise so I can be, like, healthy and perfect and beautiful. And then only like being in, you need a good yoga teacher, obviously, to like be able to process and relay it well. But no matter how good the yoga teacher was before, I like didn't hear whatever they were trying to say about being in your body and like having it be actually an opportunity to slow down and come back into your body. I just, it didn't even translate to me. And now it's so clear that actually is the main point of yoga, like, to, you know, like, I just couldn't even like conceptualize that before because it was so not on my radar.
Right.
The other thing is that when I have done kind of like group calls and talked about grounding and heard other and kind of try to take people through either sensory grounding, kind of like, I want to say visualization, but a kind of a guided, when I speak and I try to bring people into their bodies, or I try to make it like a visualization, people who have had more of a restrictive or anorexic, though I can't work with people who have anorexia. I mean, people try, but I really need to always say that this is kind of the next step after the first part of recovery. But people who have had that kind of restrictive thing going on with them would comment in and say that they couldn't even imagine, like they couldn't even visualize bringing energy any lower than like right here.
Yeah,
like it wouldn't go down, and or they couldn't sense. Either they just couldn't sense it, or it was too uncomfortable and they just couldn't do it. And that's so consistent, I feel like, with this inability to actually be here in our bodies.
And there are, if you look at specific whether, and I term this more of like, I use the term presentation, but the energy can present in very specific ways, and there can be over years of doing this work, I've observed different patterns, and I've also sensed these patterns throughout my entire life, and then through the chakra system, it's helped me bring language and place these impressions that I've had all along into this context that I can communicate now to people, which is so exciting because it's like, okay, thank God, now there's a way to actually voice and share what it is that I'm experiencing. And you can look at different types of disorders or different types of illnesses. There you can look at how things are functioning through a systems perspective. You can look at the organ energies, but anorexia is very interesting from an energetic standpoint, because from my perspective, the energy is actually completely out of the body. So there's almost such an extreme disconnect that it's like the energy is detached. And so in order to go through the process of bringing the energy fully back into the body, it can be very painful and very excruciating. But I feel like you're touching on that there are just these ways in which the energy can present, and it manifests into patterns that we can see show up in various ways.
Yeah.
Highlight, you know, different parts of the system.
Yeah.
And this is the way that I experience it. And I'm not saying that there's not a different way, but I know that for me, every time next level chakra comes through, I have to go through some serious shit. And it's like, I have to go through all of the things that I'm going to be able to share about and teach, because that is the way that I learn to embody them in the energy and in my being, is just through the experience, but it is such a process and it is such a journey to have, you know, to be going through these different steps along the way with your lens that is continuing to evolve and change, so that maybe the things that you're doing now, which could have really triggered a lot of stuff before, yeah, are now feeling less charged, mm-hmm, and you can approach them from a different place. There's stuff going on all the time. And, you know, I feel like, and I don't know if this is your experience as well, Caroline, but I feel like, you know, the work that I'm doing, the Shakrati work, which similar to the Fuck It Diet, it's like, it's its own thing. It's its own energy field. You know, you're bringing it through your lens and your filter and your personality, and you're sharing it with the world. It's coming through you, but it's like, it's its own thing. And it's got massive energy and stuff that wants to happen. And so for me, it's like, I have to be willing to really do the work, the deep inner work, so that I'm maintaining that open connection and channel essentially with this energy field that I call Shakrati. And if I'm not willing to do my own work, then it's not going to evolve and grow. And that, and this had come up in a private conversation that we were having. But a lot of the work I feel like this year that's resonating with people is more of the advanced level stuff where we focus on interferences. So things like cording and energy leaks and ancestral imprinting and past life imprinting, all of this really, I think, super exciting stuff, but it can surface a lot of uncomfortable things. And I feel like in the energy realm, there is this acknowledgement of shadow, like, oh, light and shadow, and we're light workers, and we, you know, like, acknowledge the shadow, but it's kind of going like this. I feel like it's not a very popular approach to really be looking at the shadow stuff, truly looking at it, because it's more of this, you know, oh, shadow stuff is coming up, like, just love and light, release it, or more of almost like blame or dismissive energy around it. Like when I'll use cording as an example of just energetic cording and kind of this idea that we can get into places where there's an unequal energetic exchange. Are you heading out? Okay. Too much coffee? Okay, keep going. I just keep talking, talk. There can be this unequal energetic exchange happening, but it's not just a thing where people are courting into us. And I feel like that's the common approach in the energy world, is to be like, let's look at who's courting into you and cut those cords. And so I'm being a little bit of an energy rebel and saying, I don't believe in cord cutting. I think that, you know, it's not, and not to be, it's something that I've come across, but it doesn't resonate with me at all, because this concept of cutting cords is like, you're just going to say, you know, no, without looking at how are you participating in that exchange? Where is it that you are giving permission to someone else to cord into you? What is it that this is highlighting for you? And essentially, what does that bring to the light? You know, what is it that you can learn from that experience so that you can really reclaim and reintegrate your own energy? And I feel like that just isn't, I see it in Caroline's work, I see it in some other people's work, but I do feel like it's a little bit edgy in that we want to just say, look at everything bad that's happening to me, or like blame it on society or blame it on all of these other people. But where do we really need to go inward and do the deep inner work? That's not fun a lot of the time.
But Mary also said, first of all, earlier she said, that the concept of like not even being able to bring your energy below here, she said that the first time she went through my program, which was in October or something, that it was the same thing with her. She couldn't even bring it past her throat, which is amazing that's shifted.
Then I cut some stuff and we jumped to a question about balance.
How do I balance?
I don't. Energies really. but that's okay.
I've actually, I feel like I've outgrown the terminology of my original teachings, which is, you know, I actually don't feel like I balance anything. I feel like it's not the right word, and that's just getting really word specific.
What do you mean?
I feel like it's all about being with how you're being pulled and finding a way to anchor yourself in the midst of that. You know, it's all about recalibrating and just being with the dynamic that is, and that balance can be, and it's a word that I use and refer to with the organ energies, and I'm waiting for a new exciting word to come through that represents what it is that I'm trying to capture. But that this idea of balance too can also feed into that purity model of, you know, the perfect thing. And so I feel like I don't actually balance this. I have a 3-year-old who is fierce. I mean, you guys, she's so fierce. She's so just like engage with me all of the time. And then Chakrati, which is like this insane energy that basically if I sat down with a journal, I'd never stop writing. And my husband jokes and he's like, are you a beautiful mind? Like, do I need to worry about you? Like running out of the shower, like I got to write down this thing. So I feel like I'm kind of insane most of the time.
Can I just say, and I feel like we're very intense right now, and I'm sorry, and I hope that it's like interesting to listen to and watch, but first of all, when I did you sense that when I've had so much coffee today, it's not good. I've had more than I normally have. Normally I have like the exact same amount every morning.
Don't worry, you're not acting weird.
Great. Well, I'm eating a clementine right now. Okay, earlier when I was talking about organ energies and I said the word balanced, did you sense that I was like,
Yes, I know. That's why I totally get it.
But also, guys, I told Alexis before this that I ate this chicken sausage earlier out at a cafe, and I had like 2 bites, and I was like, there's like, I still like taste it in my mouth, and I had to like give it back to them, and I was like, I can't like, I don't know if there's something wrong with the chicken or if there's something wrong with me right now that like, I'm like really, I went into the like normally I have the same like granola and yogurt at this cafe with my cortados. I'm like really in a rut. And I was like, I'm having something different today. I'm having orange juice and a croissant and chicken sausage. And then I was like so picky. It was really weird, but I'm not pregnant. It's impossible. But didn't I say on Monday that, something about, and I feel like I said it to you, Natalie, and I was like, balance is, I was like, there's no such, didn't I say something like, there's no such thing as balance? Like it's always a balancing act. I feel like I said something on our call on Monday that was something about balance that was very in line with what you just said, Alexis, about needing to like, find a different
way. I have to, that's why every time I run my immersion program, I'm like, I've got to change the language on this. Cause really it's like the same thing with food and with body relationship stuff. It's like, there's this idea that we're always expansive or we're going to attain this perfect expansive place, which is based on Chakrati terminology, because there's, you know, based on these different presentations, contracted can suggest that there's energy depletion, and chaotic can suggest chaos, and open suggests openness, and expansive seems like the optimal ideal. And it is optimal in that it feels really, really good. And it's a great reflection of being really experiencing that expansive state in the energy. However, I laugh at this idea that somehow someone asked me, I think I was being interviewed the other week, and someone asked me, have you ever seen someone present as all expansive? And I have never seen that initially. However, because we're applying our unique lens, I feel like my lens is so scrutinizing because I don't want to just look at all of the great stuff. It's like, what is the shit here that wants to surface so we can do some serious work? So expansive is great, but it also can feed into that that perfectionism and that striving for purity and attaining this place that just isn't real, because we all need to be contracted and chaotic to reach an expansive state. And then it cycles over and over and over again.
Also, something that I started writing about like maybe 6 months ago was this concept of balance with eating for people who have been so controlled for so long.
Right.
People who are like, well, I'm going to become an intuitive eater, so I'm gonna just find balance. Like, I just need to get to balance. And honestly, balance from restriction is like eating a lot of food. That's actually the like way you get to balance, is by like, or at least that's the way that I see what the body is trying to do, is overcompensate for not having enough food for such a long
time. You are looking at, you know, this from a polarity standpoint. And that's the way that I approach the Chakrity work as well. And there are a lot of people who kind of, I don't even know what the term would be within the energetic world, but these approaches that aren't really looking at things from a polarity or spectrum standpoint, but more of like, everything is this continuum. There is no such thing as polarity. And maybe that is true for a place that I have not evolved to experience yet. But for me, what really resonates is actually really exploring the polarities, because this, you know, if you are really excessive in something, then maybe you have to completely pull back and retract in order to find a place that's more neutral for you. But that in that neutrality, if I think it all goes back to, this is where energetics is so fascinating. Instead of looking at, we have this tendency to look at food for its nutritive value. So, you know, what qualities does it have? Is it how many calories and how much fat and how much protein? Is it clean? Is it not clean? Like, is it GMO? Like, is it whatever? What the heck is going on with it? Well, if we look at our own root and that desire to approach something from, so what is actually the root of the energy? And I encourage everybody to explore this, and you can do this just in from a place of curiosity and observation. It can be easier to do in witnessing others before applying that to yourself. Look at how is somebody approaching something, and it could be food. You know, is somebody approaching that from a place of control? Then that will illustrate a lot, because we mask what is at the root of what is more of like an origin energy with the actual thing. So we mask what's happening on the inside with this outer thing. So start looking at the energetics of where you feel the energy originating from. Is it from a place of fear, or is it from a place of compassion? You know, what is it that you're sensing? And it's a really cool thing to explore.
Yes. Alexis, do you remember when we tried to do that podcast like interview, and it just like what, first of all, we couldn't get the internet to work. This is like many, many months ago.
Yeah.
I love Alexis. She's so smart. Let's do a podcast interview. It just like didn't work. Like nothing was working.
I was swearing, like running through the woods, because I live in the forest and have really bad internet at my office, and was like running back and forth and was enraged. I was so upset that it wasn't working. But then what happened, I was like, there's something to this. So for me, again, I'm more of that polarity girl. And so I'm not in a place of, you know, everything is of the light. I mean, yes, it is. And there's this spectrum, and there are all sorts of things going on in that spectrum. And whenever something major is about to come through for me, there's always a strong counterforce energy. And so I was like, what is the deal with this? This is like such major interference that something big has to be happening. And sure enough, I texted you later that night, Caroline, something big came through. And I realized that I had like this whole realization of next level work, and how, and it actually ties in with that whole kind of more balanced, imbalanced place, that all of these presentations have different expressions, and that those expressions reveal more information. So it's not just like, you know, here's the good expression of the chakra and here's the bad expression of the chakra. It's like,
hey, you should talk about that at all, because I don't actually teach that at all. I don't talk about things. I mention it, and I probably mention it more when I actually do energy work. But I don't teach about constricted. I don't teach that lens, because I was like, that's Alexis's, like. And Mary also said the word balance makes me think that nothing is wrong, but right. Life doesn't work that way. And with Caroline's energy work, I know much more now that everything needs to get felt through. And when I had my fuck a diet epiphany and I was like starting to apply it to myself and starting to write about it, this quote, and I don't even know like where I saw it or heard it and why it stuck with me, because I don't like read poetry or anything, but this quote, this Robert Frost quote, the only way out is through, mm-hmm. It was like playing in my head over and over and over. And I was like, I can't just like jump out of this. I have to like surrender back into it and like go through it in order to get to any other experience. Mm-hmm. Mary also said, if there's something physically going on with an organ, can there be energy work or organ energy connected? Or are they not usually connected? That's a great question.
I would say that so the way in which I connect with the body and the energy is that in order for something to physically manifest, it actually has to make its way through the layers of the energy field first to then be expressed through the physical body. And one thing that comes up a lot is I think blame and shame are really common energies that surface around illness or physical ailments, either the tendency to blame ourselves. And that's something that I see. It's like the dark side of the law of attraction. What did you do to get this illness? You obviously really messed up. You had a really negative thought and it manifested into cancer, you know, and just like, whoa, you know, kind of this extreme of like the blaming of yourself to be in a certain place. I don't know why I'm talking about this right now, but I'll trust that it serves a purpose. And then also, again, finding that place on the spectrum of how can we be curious and how can we be observers and witnesses to our own experience so that we are looking at ties to things. We are looking at possibly opening up to the energetic relationship between something presenting in the liver and manifesting in the physical, and energetic work to do around it. So I absolutely do feel that there is a relationship between the energy and the physical always. However, if we look at what can be termed higher levels of healing, so the things that are working from a spiritual level, that can impact all of the layers down. When things are really coupled tightly, so when there is more of a focus in the body and the energy, I'll use me as an example. So I had a sore throat for a few years, and I'll just casually, I had a sore throat for a few years, and I had a chronic illness, part of the magic, and I could not get rid of this sore throat. It didn't matter what I did. It never went away. And certain things would exacerbate it. It would like lessen, but then it would come back. Anyway, I ended up, my friend Christine that Caroline's working with now, she really felt that I had a tonsil focus. She really felt that my tonsils were a problem, that were kind of anchoring in this issue in the body. And so she really wanted to inject my tonsils, and it's through this modality that's called neural therapy, which has become one of my favorite things now to get injections, because that's not weird. And she was like, I really want to inject your tonsils. I think it's really going to help you. And it took me a while. I worked with her for months before, and I saw everyone else getting their tonsils injected until I was like, okay, maybe I can do this. And then I remember laying down on the table, and she takes one of those, you know, tongue suppressor things and shoves a needle down my throat. And it was just like, oh my God, I was terrified. Everything locked up. I thought I was gonna, you know, choke to death. It was this crazy thing. I actually saw energy leave my body, and I'm not kidding. I was sore for a couple of days from the pricks of the needles. I didn't have a sore throat again after that. I mean, it totally shifted something. And so we need physical intervention when something has gotten so rooted into the physical body. Most oftentimes there is a marrying of, you know, that the awareness and the energetic piece and the physical support. But I do feel like when people have, you know, quote unquote miraculous healings and things, that there are so many other forces at play, and there are so many things that can happen that can shift things. And so really just the awareness of possible connections between the physical and the energetic can be so helpful in any area. It's uncomfortable, you know, and when we're in it, it can be hard to see the gifts and the blessings that come from really challenging experiences. But, you know, it's been through the chakra-y journey for me specifically, where I've begun to approach those times from a different place, because I really almost always feel even more deeply connected, because it's like, I'm not going down easily, people. I have had to be brought down to my knees to open up to really allowing things to happen. And that in that place, in that, you know, in the depths, oftentimes it's where the magic is, if we're willing to really go there, you know, and the willingness to really explore the things that are coming through for you that are really deep and challenging to navigate. That's where we are being connected oftentimes with our gifts and our purpose and what we're here to do in the world, if we're willing to be open to that.
Thank you so much. This is like,
I always love talking with you, as you know.
Well, we text all the time about Outlander, and so it's maybe good that we're forcing ourselves to talk about something else. Today, right before this call, I wrote to Alexis. I said, Outlander is like true love. I see all its flaws, and I even hate it sometimes, but I still love it.
So true.
And Helen said, thank you both. This call, I had a million connections.
Yay.
No, this, I'm so, Alexis, you are so amazing. And this call has reminded me again why, like, your teaching has, like, been so resonant with me and with the Fuck It Diet. We have to have retreats.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Didn't this make you feel like we have to have retreats? I mean, I already felt it.
Yeah.
Scotland, anyone?
A Scottish retreat?
Yeah.
I know it's in our future and it's not that far out. And I just feel like, you know, there's so many different areas to explore. I realize we didn't touch on organ energies that much. That's, you know, there will be more opportunities, I'm sure. And that was so much fun. And I hope that it was helpful. And yeah, thanks so much, you guys.
And there you have it. I still have a really bad taste of chicken in my mouth. I'm not sure why, from like hours and hours ago. So I'm going to bid you all adieu. There's no singing today, but it's for the best for everyone, because I can barely even talk or hear. And I will get back to you soon with another podcast. Probably. If I don't, you know, run away and become a real monk. No, I'm not going to do that. Don't worry. Okay, bye.